In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not much can be added with regards to the fact that our Lord explains the parable very well. And normally the Gospels don't relate that. But this one was important, because it was preparing the apostles and the church in her early days and the church today for the reality that there will be those who reject the gospel, those who reject Christ, those who reject the sacramental life of the church. And therefore they should not be discouraged, because this is going to happen. In fact, more people will reject Christ than truly live life in Christ. An unfortunate reality indicated by our Lord Himself. The path to hell is wide and many are on it. The gate to heaven is narrow and only the strong pass through it. The gate to hell is wide and many are on it because it's easier. And it's wide because of the function that more people want to go there. No one falls into hell by accident. And the gate to heaven is narrow, not because God made it hard, but because so many souls really are not interested in getting into heaven. And it requires effort, requires strength. Well, the apostles know this, and the early church knew this, and Catholics who are faithful today know it. But there aren't that many, in all reality, Catholics who are faithful, since 70% don't believe in the real presence of Jesus' blessed sacrament. If you don't believe Jesus is really and truly present in communion, don't receive it. It's a great sin of sacrilege. You condemn your soul to hell when you do that. Quite literally. Shouldn't be done, out of respect for your fellow Catholics who are faithful, but more importantly, out of respect for our Lord. But the question is, why would people be like that? Why would a Catholic not believe in the real presence? Even our Lord makes it abundantly clear. Why do so many Catholics leave the faith? Why do so many Protestants remain Protestant? Or all the other so-called religions? Why is it so that there are people who choose to be atheists, but of course they're really not, because their whole point of existence is to prove there isn't a God, which means they actually believe in God? But the question we might ask, even on a personal level, why is some loved one, why they quit the faith? Why aren't they interested in the faith? Why haven't they converted to the faith? Our Lord gives the answer. Three situations, either all three combined or individually, they happen this way. The first reason is the most obvious, as our Lord gives. It's the enemy. It's the devil. Now, this is not to say the devil made me do it, in the sense that you have no free will. No, the devil is clever about making sure that everything is doubtful. Everything is, in its own way, cloudy and somewhat impossible to know. Your average agnostic, for example. Our Lord likens that to the seed being put on the path and the birds take away. That's the devil. So people who leave the faith, people who refuse to convert, people who remain away from the church are cooperating with Satan, whether they know it or not. And they cooperate with him by not trying to find out the truth. Because they lack understanding, there's no interest in following through. Our Lord worked many miracles, to be sure. But ultimately, he would use the miracles to draw the crowds to listen to what he said so that they could understand what it means to be Catholic. And so many do not understand and refuse. That's the work of the devil, appealing to their pride. But they do it themselves. But the devil appeals to their pride. You can't really know for certain if there's only one right religion. God really may have wanted all religions, and it's the same heaven at the end. Even our Lord makes abundantly clear, our Lord who is God and cannot deceive nor be deceived, therefore he cannot be wrong, nor can he lie. He makes abundantly clear that only he is the way and the truth and the life. And St. Peter says, there's only one name under heaven and earth by which any man can be saved. The name, of course, is Jesus Christ, the holy name. See how the devil introduces doubt, and see how that appeals to pride. So a lot of people, even perhaps your loved ones who don't want to convert, the first reason they're not converting is that they're cooperating with Satan. And of course, most people don't believe in Satan, so they're going to lose that battle anyway, which is part of his whole plan. God is, I am who am, and the devil is, I am who am not. Tells people he does and exists, and they believe it. They're either cooperating actively or passively, but either way, the devil's behind it. And this, of course, is coming from Jesus Christ, who is God. He cannot deceive nor be deceived. So those who do not believe in the devil, they have no chance of really believing in Christ, because how could Christ be right on the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the dead and yet be wrong on the issue of the devil, or be right on the matter of the need for charity but be wrong on the necessity of baptism and the necessity of eating and drinking his flesh in order to get in blood, in order to get to heaven? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. You can't pick and choose with Christ. It's all or nothing. See how the devil creates doubt, though? And that's what causes people to leave. Or causes a Catholic maybe to just come to Mass and sit there and wait for it to be over, you know, punching the time clock. Which leads into the second point. The devil is operative in the first, according to what our Lord says. The second one, he speaks of the reality of the seeds being cast amongst the rocks, where there's little soil, and therefore the roots and the seed cannot take root. The second reason you have a loved one who rejects the faith or won't convert to the faith, or stays a Protestant, or stays an agnostic or atheist, is quite simply because they are shallow. They are shallow. They live very superficial lives with no depth and no meaning, so therefore they're comfortable living life aimlessly with no direction and no ultimate goal, only nebulous ideas of growing old together or some foolishness like that, as though that would be guaranteed. There's no direction for their lives. There's only shallowness, moving from one thing to another. And for those kinds of people, when they're shallow, as our Lord says, when they first hear the word, they're excited about it. They like the idea of converting. But because they're shallow, they have no depth, the first trial comes where they maybe have to stand up for their faith, or the first trial comes where they have to believe in God over and above whatever natural or moral evil they're experiencing, and they panic. Their roots are exposed, and the testing they receive is like the sun burning the roots. And therefore, they abandon the faith, they abandon the cause. They start off excited about it, so they have the understanding that was lacking for those that are too cooperative with Satan, and therefore they never hear what's being preached, they never see the miracle of the altar, and they simply walk away from it, because they lack understanding as the devil endeavors to cloud their vision. But in this case, they do have the understanding, but their lives are so shallow, so without meaning and purpose. They're coasting through it. The kinds of people that entertain themselves to death. They can go through the whole roster of the 1946 UK basketball team, but they can't tell you the 12 apostles. Or they know every character and every storyline of whatever show they're watching or streaming. They know the whole story. They could gladly tell you the whole episode, verse by verse, word by word, but they could never quote sacred scripture. That's the shallowness our Lord is talking about. They are indeed without depth. And when they're confronted with the true faith, because Protestants are all shallow, that's why all they do is the praise and worship. Everything they do is a concert. And it's all about trying to rev the emotions up, because when you're shallow, everything's based on your emotions, on how you're feeling in the moment. And if you don't feel good, you'll just walk away. Because when you're shallow, you believe your life is to be that of a houseplant, and everything is supposed to be perfect for you. No adversity, no challenge, no tests or trials. And if there are, you bolt and run like the wind. So the first reason the people you love that won't convert or have left the faith is because they're cooperating with Satan. The second reason is because they are totally shallow. They have no depth. They like the idea of becoming Catholic, but there's just too much distraction. There's just too much fun to be had in the shallow, superficial life. They spend their lives as though they're water skiing on the top, not realizing there is tremendous depth below that indeed is profound and meaningful. The third reason goes a little further by what our Lord says than the shallowness. The third reason is, as he said, it's when the seed, remember the seed is always good, it's the Word of God, it's the truth of Jesus Christ, it's his faith, the Roman Catholic faith established by Christ. It is cast like seed throughout the world. It is either accepted or rejected. No in between. No in between. You're either with me or against me, Jesus said. So the third one is the seed that is thrown amongst the thorns and thistles. And it's strangled by worldly anxiety or love of wealth. And that's the third reason, or perhaps the third origin of why people you love won't convert, or people you love have left the faith, or people in general don't become Catholic. It's because either they're too invested in being anxious about the world, and so therefore they're all nervous and anxious, and they're just filled with anxiety because their faith is in the world. Their faith is in the house, the car, the job. And they're always anxious about these things, and therefore there's no desire to trust God with it, but only to be pursuant of those things, of that success. And these people may not only be anxious about material things, but even about people in their lives. They love people in their lives more than they love our Lord, and therefore they can't let go. Because they'll never love our Lord as they ought because they love someone else more than him. That Catholic who leaves the faith because they marry a Protestant. And then the Protestant won't convert and won't come back. And they think, well, I love him, so I'm going to stay with him. I love her, so I'm going to stay with her. And it'll all work out in the end. God doesn't care. Balderdash. He does. But they're anxious about so many things that they never try to live the faith. And of course, the other side is there are those who love money. There are those who make all these efforts to make money. They never ever sit down, say, and study the faith, read sacred scripture, study the teachings of the church, but they will scour. They will scour resources on how to make a quick buck. And they'll scour resources on how to invest wisely. And that's what's funny, because they'll invest wisely as though they know for sure they're going to be able to retire on that retirement money. And they may not. They could die. But yet they are convinced that money is the answer to everything. And that's all they work for. That's where all their attention lies. So therefore, everything that is given to them, because remember, these are different depths. So the first level of people who don't convert or leave the faith or stay away from the faith are cooperating with Satan. That's the first level. And the second level, they may make it past Satan, but because they live a shallow life, all about entertainment and fun, they won't convert because they're too shallow. And the third level, if they get past the shallowness, that's when they can lose it because they're too anxious about the things of the world, material things, or they love money too much. They love all the things that they believe go with money. In other words, they're so filled with pride, they think they can control their lives from the day they start all their investing in jobs and working up until they have their idealized vision that they're all going to die in their bed surrounded by their loved ones. And it doesn't happen for everyone. In fact, we always consider it a blessing when that happens, because oftentimes it does not. And if they do die in their beds, they're long suffering with great pain, which of course is God giving them a chance to do penance, but their families, because they don't know the faith, let a hospice euthanize them with too much morphine, because it makes somebody feel better that person's dead and they don't have to worry about him anymore, when in reality it was an opportunity for them to suffer. But that's how that shallowness gets in, and that's how the pursuing of money gets in the way. So our Lord gives the three reasons. And it's not to dissuade us, it was to prepare the apostles for what they would face when they started their work after our Lord's ascension and the descending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. It lets us know that these things happen. People will reject it. And that's why our Lord said to those who reject him, shake the dust from your feet and move on to the next town. Keep going, keep trying. If they reject the Christ, so be it. That's why our Lord himself told the apostles of the ascension, you know, if they receive the word, they're blessed. If they don't, they will be condemned. It's simple as that. And the reason they're going to be condemned is because with their wills, they're either cooperating with Satan, they're either willfully shallow, or they're either willfully anxious and pursue material, worldly, monetary things. And that is the sole definition of their lives. They make no room for Christ. They make no room for the faith. They make no room for good works. They make no room for prayer. They make no room for contemplation. They make no room for spiritual reading. So when you think about it, if you pull back and look at it objectively, you can probably identify that one or perhaps all three of those dynamics in the people that you care about who have left the faith, or the people that you care about who will not join the faith. It's probably unnerving to realize they're cooperating with Satan, but our Lord says that's the first case of those who reject the faith. That's the first instance. That's what's usually happening most of the time. That means it gives you a means of understanding why they're doing what they're doing. If it is because they're cooperating with Satan, then you can work in opposition to the enemy. If it's because their lives are shallow, then you can introduce them to a deeper life by your own example. And if it's because they are so caught up in money and material things, or they're so anxious about everything, which really means they're prideful and want to control every aspect of their lives, you can, by example, show them what it looks like when you acknowledge that God is God, and he is a lot better at being God than we are. And that we trust him as he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. And it takes real faith and confidence to do that, and that only comes with a life that is not satanic, a life that is not shallow, and a life where you place God first above everything else. If you're doing that, then you've got everything you need besides praying for the grace to be the instrument of conversion for the people you love. You've got everything you need to find the good strategy and tactic to break through either one of those things, if it's just one, or even all three of those things, if it's all three. And do the mission that you're supposed to be doing, which all of us are called to do, but you as a laity in particular, bringing the world to the church so that we priests can indeed teach them, sanctify them, and govern them in accordance with the mind and plan of God, which will save their souls. We should never be dissuaded that people will not come into the faith. Our Lord is indicating that happens. But at the very least, with those we know and love, because we cannot do this for everyone, but for those we know and love who have left the faith or never come into the faith or are staying in some other false religion, our Lord is giving you the indications of why they're doing it. And so therefore, you can influence them. You can call them back to Christ or to first experience the Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.